السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقد قال الله تعالى: إن أولياؤه إلا المتقون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers, as far as the month of Ramadan is concerned, alhamdulillah, with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's mercy and kindness, we have seen many Ramadans and we have heard of the virtues of Ramadan many times. We have heard of fasting and its virtues many times. Every Ramadan, these ayats of the Quran Sharif are repeated, the same hadiths are repeated, because they are relevant to the time. Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he used to instruct the Sahabas, or when he used to inform them of some virtue or some fazilat of some good deed and action, then the Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi alaihim ajma'in did not require a repetition, or they did not require a revision. They did not require an information again of that virtue, because they immediately implemented it in their lives. But yet the Quran Sharif says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and remind, because reminder benefits the believers. Although there was no need for them to be reminded, but Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba ikram, and after that, throughout the centuries of Islam, the same hadiths and the same verses were repeated so that we may be reminded. And Allah Ta'ala says that reminder benefits the believers. So if a reminder does not benefit a believer, then it means that there is something wrong, there is some weakness in the person's iman. Because Allah Ta'ala says that a reminder must benefit a believer. If the person is a true believer, and if he is reminded, then it benefits him. If he is already practicing, then it will give him more ecstasy and joy in the fulfillment of that particular deed and action, because he is listening to the virtue of that action again and again. And if he is showing some sort of weakness and negligence, then immediately it strengthens him. So reminder does benefit a believer. So these ayats of the Quran Sharif, we should not listen to them thinking that we have already heard them, and therefore what is the need to really listen to them? The Quran Sharif is recited in the Taraweeh prayers every year, and Muslims or believers are encouraged to read the Quran Sharif every day of their lives. So it will be the same ayats that we will be coming across. The person who is making 10 khatams of the Quran Sharif or 20 khatams of the Quran Sharif is coming across the same verses of the Quran Sharif, nothing new. But every time it is giving him a new spiritual upliftment and boost. So in this verse of the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that, O ye believers, we have prescribed fasting upon you as we prescribed it upon those before you, to lessen our burden. To lessen our burden, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that this is not a new injunction. It is not a new command. It's not that you as the ummah of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are suddenly going to be burdened with this command of fasting in the month of Ramadan. Indeed, the month of Ramadan and all the details did not exist in the past. But fasting itself was present in all religions of the past. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that we made this an obligation and a duty upon even those people who lived before you. The moment a person hears that somebody has undertaken a certain kind of activity before he was employed, then it lessens his burden. He believes that it is not something beyond his means. If a person has to employ somebody and say that these are your terms of contract, so this person will, if he is told that the manager before you, the shop assistant before you, the cashier before you, the accountant before you, he also did the same thing. So this person immediately feels that it is not something that's going to be beyond my level and reach, because if other human beings like me could have done it in the past, so it's not going to be difficult for me to undertake it. Now look at the hikmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Look at the wisdom of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Look at the love that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has for his creation, that he wants to lessen the burden also. He is not like the governments of the time, that if the government of the time has to pass some legislation, then they say, this is law. If you abide, if you follow the law, well and good. And if you don't, then it's prison sentence for so many years, or so much of a fine that you will have to pay. There's no two ways about it. There is no such thing as telling you that in the past also somebody did this and did that and lessen your burden and assist you and help you, nothing of that nature. It is a straightforward law. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he is Hakim and he is Hakim. Allah is both Hakim and he is Hakim. If only we have to remember these two words and take a lesson from these two words. One is Hakim, to be a ruler, to the one who gives the commands, the one who gives the instructions and the one who gives the direction, the one whose orders and laws have to be obeyed. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is Hakim, because he is our creator, we are his slaves. And we have got no right to ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala any questions. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did not appoint us members of his parliament or cabinet, that he's going to take mashwara from us, that, oh my servants, what is your view with regards to this? Shall I make it happen in this way or that way? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is our creator, he's our master, he is our sustainer, and he is the Hakim, and we have to accept whatever comes from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Therefore you will find that those people who have got belief in this taqdeer, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the Hakim, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is our creator and our sustainer, and we are his slaves, then if there is a disaster, if there is a calamity, if there is a difficulty or a hardship that falls upon this person, if there's a tragedy in the person's life or family's life, then if he is a believer in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala as being the Hakim, then it very quickly consoles the person. The person gets some satisfaction, deep-hearted satisfaction. He believes that it was beyond my means and my control. I could have done nothing about it. There is some force that is controlling everything that is happening. Therefore, I always give this example, and what does it cost to repeat? That if there are two women, and both of them were childless for 20 years, after 20 years, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blessed both of them with a beautiful little children. Both of them had one child, and both of them very pretty and very beautiful, and very playful and very bubbly. Now these two children, because these women were childless for 20 years, so surely they will virtually worship these children. They have so much of love for these children. Now both women are loving their children. Then it so happens that this 3-year-old child was traveling, both children were traveling, and in an accident, both of them have to die. 2-3 years old, and both of them die. Now one woman believes that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is Hakim and Hakim. Allah ta'ala is a Hakim and is also Hakim, meaning wise. And she believes in taqdeer. She believes in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala controlling, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala directing everything. He believes that our life is from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and he can take it away whenever he wishes. For why did he not bless that woman with a child when she was just married, in the first year of her married life or second year of her married life? Why did she go and visit all the doctors and all the tawizwalas and nothing happened? And why is it that after 20 years Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blessed them with children? So this person who believes in taqdeer, believes in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala as Hakim and Hakim, that woman will get over this tragedy very soon. It will not take her very long. That natural grief and sorrow will remain, and there is no punishment over that. There is no sin. That is natural, that the person lost the child. That woman will still think of the child after 30 years of life or 50 years. But that belief in taqdeer, that belief that it is happening with the will of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, will immediately give this person some consolation, some comfort, some satisfaction, and she will get back to normal life very, very quickly. But that woman who did not believe in taqdeer, that woman who was a disbeliever in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who was a disbeliever in the day of judgment, in life after death, and Allah being hakim and hakim, then it will take a long, long time for that woman to get over it, and sometimes they even commit suicide themselves, because they feel that what is the sense of living now, now that this child of mine who was the apple of my eye is gone, so why should I live anymore? And they take their own lives away too, because there was no belief in taqdeer. So we believe that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is hakim, and Allah ta'ala is also hakim. But of course we must not misunderstand it. I have explained this in other talks, that taqdeer or belief in taqdeer does not mean that we do all stupid things, wrong things, incorrect things, and then we say it is taqdeer. Taqdeer means that we make use of the means as they should have been made use of. And then we leave the decision to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We leave the decision to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We conform our will to the will of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Not that we want Allah ta'ala to conform to our will and decision. So then that brings us peace and happiness. But if a person does stupid things, like that person got his daughter who was only 14 or 15 years of age, married to a person who was 75 years of age, and he made this world get married to the 75-year-old person solely because of this person's wealth and property and gold and silver fortunes or his Kruger and savings. So he thought that if my daughter marries this person, as it is this person's one leg is in the grave, very soon he will kick the bucket and he will be in the grave, then my daughter can inherit all this fortune. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. This is the type of attitude that many people have. Nevertheless, this person, because he admitted it himself to one great buzruk, and he said that unfortunately this was my intention, this was my niyat, that this person is a rich person, he's 75 years of age, and any time now he will depart from this world, so my daughter will get whatever he owns. So this girl, there was going to be definitely no compatibility. How can there be compatibility between a 16, 17-year-old girl and a 75-year-old man? So she kept on complaining, and she wanted a divorce and a dissolution of her marriage. Afterwards, when Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Rahmatullah Ali asked this person that how can you do such a foolish and stupid thing, then he said that taqdeer. So he got very angry. He said, you do the wrong thing and then you blame taqdeer for it. Shaitan says, hansi aati hai mujhe hazrat-e-insan par. Hansi aati hai mujhe hazrat-e-insan par. Guna karta hai khud, phir lanat bhejta hai shaitan par. Shaitan says, I feel like laughing at those people who commit sins themselves. They are the ones who commit the sins. I did not force them to commit the sin. What power do I have to force a man to commit sin? I only whispered a few things into their ears. I just brought some pretty woman in front of their eyes. I just tempted the person with some wealth in the casino to go and gamble and become rich. But I didn't force the person. I didn't pull and drag the person. It says, hasi aati hai mujhe hazrat-e-insan par, guna karta hai khud, phir lanat bhejta hai shaitan par. He said, how can the person be now cursing me when I am not the person that forced him to do this? Nevertheless, so in this month of Ramadan, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, just as I prescribed on those before you, to lessen our burden, that it's not something impossible, it's not something difficult. Why I'm emphasizing this point, or laying stress and emphasis on this point, is that we are in the month of December. It is summer in South Africa, and we are expecting very, very hot days. That's our expectation. But what do we know? If we turn towards Allah Ta'ala, we repent, we ask Allah to make things easy for us, then even in December He can give us cool days. Is it difficult for Allah Ta'ala? Haven't we heard of snow in summer in our own country? Did we not get very, very cold days in summer month? And in certain parts of the world where it's supposed to be extremely cold, sometimes it is very, very hot on certain days. So we should not lose hope and trust in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He can change conditions if we are prepared to change our condition. If we are not prepared to change our condition, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not change the condition. But it is a promise of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that if we change our condition, Allah Ta'ala will change the conditions of adversity into conditions of prosperity. So it is not difficult for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to give us cool and comfortable days even in December. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is saying that kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, those who were before you, they also observed fast in the month, observed fast according to my injunctions and command, and they were able to manage, and they too were fasting at different times of the year. It's not that they only observe fast in one particular month. It's not like the Christian Christmas that comes only in December and on the 25th of December. Our Eid we have in different times of the year. The lunar calendar, that is why there is great benefit and wisdom of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in it. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, to lessen our burdens, He says that they also observe fast, those before you. So if we look at India, Pakistan, if we look at Burma, and we look at China and all, and Saudi Arabia or the Middle East, it's extremely hot there. In summer it's extremely hot. And fast is of 17 hours or 18 hours. And what is our heat? There they experience 50 degrees and 45 degrees heat. But over the years, right from the time of Rasul-e Pak up till now, people have observed fast in those countries, even in those long, long summer days. Very, very hot days. So what was it that was making them observe that fast? What was it that was making it easy for them? There were two things that were making it easy for them. And if we also adopt those two things in our lives, then irrespective of how long the day, irrespective of how long the hours, irrespective of how little food we may have had for Sehri, and irrespective of what little we have got in our stomach for the day, and how much of thirst, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes it easy. Two things. Firstly, the niyat. This niyat is such a powerful weapon. There is nothing else that has kept us away from eating and drinking this morning, from dawn and until sunset, inshallah, except this niyat of fast which we have made. Outwardly, it's a very simple thing. Oh Allah, I am observing a fast. I am keeping a fast for your pleasure tomorrow or today. If you fast, if you're making the niyat after Subh Sadiq, then you say today. And if you're making it before Subh Sadiq, then you say tomorrow. That is a simple niyat. That, oh Allah, I'm observing this fast, so I intend fasting tomorrow for your pleasure. Now this niyat that we made, outwardly it is a very simple little niyat. But there are two elements in there and two ingredients. One is that you are keeping this fast for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This niyat when a person makes that, Ya Allah, this whole day now I'm going to restrain myself from eating, from drinking, from carnal pleasures, solely for your pleasure. There is nothing else that will restrain me. There is no other force in the world that would have kept me away. Even if all the muftis and the qaris and the huffaz, and if all the imams and the mashayikh and the buzrugs of the world had to scream at the top of their voices on any other day besides the month of Ramadan and say, O Ummate Muslimah, it is compulsory for you to fast on this particular day from dawn to sunset, Ya Allah, we would not have observed it. We would not have accepted their direction and command. Because it was nobody else can make anything farz, which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has not made farz. Yes, optional fast somebody could have kept, but nobody could have said that it is farz for you to fast on this day as the fast of Ramadan. So it is this niyat that the person makes that, Ya Allah, I am restraining myself from all these things which were halal in other months of the year, solely for your pleasure. There is nothing else that is restraining me. I believe that you are living, you are existing. You are powerful, you are omnipotent and omnipresent. You are almighty, you are my sustainer, you are my creator, you are my khaliq, you are my malik. You are my sustainer, I am your slave. When this person believes in that, then makes this niyat. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala loves this niyat of this person so much that there is nothing else that is restraining this person except this khawf and fear that I am watching, I am seeing, I am hearing, I know everything. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then makes it easy for this person to complete that fast, irrespective of how long the hours of the day. Therefore, it is extremely important that we make our niyat as quickly as possible. Because the moment the person makes niyat, all the barakat of that niyat comes away into that fast. Try it out and you will see that if the person makes a niyat, not just reading out a niyat, with that yaqeen and with that faith, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it is His hukam. Allah Ta'ala is Hakim and He is also Hakim, He is very wise. He knows what are the benefits of my fasting in this month of Ramadan and He prescribed it. So therefore for His pleasure I am keeping this fast. This niyat itself is the first thing that will make that fast very easy and simple, even though the hours may be long and the person has got strenuous work to do during the day. The second thing is the abstinence from sins. The moment the person starts indulging in sins whilst he is fasting, that fast becomes difficult. Even in the time of Rasul-e Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there is evidence to this fact that women who were making ghibat, which we consider to be pastime, in the month of Ramadan also our pastime is ghibat, backbiting about people, looking at the faults of people, criticizing people, mocking at people, laughing and teasing. This is our lifestyle even in the month of Ramadan. So these women were making ghibat, and they became so hungry as if their life is going to expire. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sent them a bowl, and he said, but they have already eaten. They said, we haven't eaten. He said, ask them to spew. And when they spewed, I'm just giving you the gist of that hadith. When they spewed, there was fresh meat which they had eaten. Of course, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wanted to show it, that these women were eating the flesh of their dead brothers, because that is what ghibat is. So when the person indulges in a sin like ghibat, and the fast becomes difficult. Now imagine if the person is indulging in other haram activities whilst he is fasting. Then who are we fooling with that fast? Therefore Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَ أَنْ يَدَعْ طُعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. That the person who does not give up lies, the person who does not give up lies, and acting in accordance with those lies. One is the person speaks lies, and one is that the person's actions are full of lies. There's a different categories of lies. There's no time to go into details of that. But the person who does not give up lies, and he does not give up acting on those lies, then Allah Ta'ala is not in need of his giving up his food and drink. Will we make Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala any rich if we don't fast in the month of Ramadan? Some stupid people said that in the time of Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because they were starving, there was not sufficient food at home, therefore Allah Ta'ala prescribed fasting upon them in the month of Ramadan. However, now we have plentiful of food, so it's not necessary that we must fast. We must have some sympathy and love and feeling for the poor and needy. But to fast from dawn to sunset was a special order and hukam for those people who were suffering starvation and hardship. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. If that was the case, then fasting should have been prescribed in the very first year of Islam. In the very first year that the people were accepting Islam, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam received the information of his nubuwwat, when he was crowned with nubuwwat, then at that time Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam should have told the sahaba kiram, because they underwent 3 years of ostracism, complete boycott for 3 solid years in Shaab ibn Abi Talib, where no food was allowed, water was not allowed. Sometimes the starvation reached such a level that they had to even chew leather to survive. They had to chew leather and leaves to survive. But at that time Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did not reveal the verses of the Quran Sharif that fasting is prescribed upon you as we prescribed on those before you, because you are starving. There's no food at home and you are starving here in this valley here. So therefore you rather keep fast and get sawab. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. Fasting became prescribed in the second year of Hijrah, when they moved over to Madina Tayyiba, and when they became a little stable, and when the government was now being established, and when Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's deen and message was reaching far and wide, and when there was a community of followers in Madina Sharif, many of them who were farmers, they had dates and they had other plantations, then these people at that time, fasting became farz upon them. In fact, it is far more important, fasting is far more important for those who have got enough food in their stomach than those who have got no food in their stomach. Because those who have got no food in their stomach, they are as it is hungry, and they are starving, and their heart and mind is with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and they are waiting for help and assistance of Allah. But those people who have got plentiful in the hand, in the pocket, in the purse, in the bank, and in the safe, then the person becomes arrogant, the person becomes rebellious. He believes that I am independent, I am not in need of anyone. Like one person used to ask his son, who became pious and who started making namaz, he says, what are you all of the time going for namaz, namaz, namaz? What will you get with namaz? So this person used to reply that I will get my Allah, Allah's pleasure, Allah's happiness. So he says that, what are you short of? There's so much of food, so much of clothing, I've got good animals in my stable, good horses, then what is this all the time you are just going to put your head on the ground? So the person believes that I am independent when he has got plentiful. So at that time fasting is even more important. So that if the person has got to fast for a long day, then the person begins to feel the pangs of pain that those who are starving and those who are hungry are feeling. Brothers, as we are fasting in this month in comfortable surroundings, we make our namaz in air-conditioned masjids, and we have hot and cold water, we have soap and towel, and we have plenty of food also in our homes, which we fill our bellies with at Subah Sadiq time, or before Subah Sadiq, and again as soon as iftar, the sun sets, then we fill it up again with halim and with everything else. At that time we should not forget that there are hundreds and thousands of people, hundreds and thousands of people, or running into the millions, who are at present refugees. What is happening in Chechnya? Our innocent mothers and sisters, they are being raped, tortured, brutalized. What kind of trauma and suffering they are undergoing? Is there sufficient food there to even fill up the belly? So many of them are refugees in camps and tents, not only in Chechnya and Bosnia and Kashmir. What the four Indian forces are doing there? If we have to read of those incidents, it makes our hair stand on end. In such kind of suffering, we have reports that the people are still fasting. They say, whatever happens, there are many Muslims of such iman and such strength. They say, whatever happens, as it is, we are suffering. Why should we not fast? But we should give those people a thought. And we should make a lot of shukr. I'm not saying don't make use of the ni'mats. If Allah Ta'ala has provided sufficiently and a person is eating and at the same time is also giving to the poor and needy, it's no sin. It's not haram to have a few extra items. It's not haram. I'm not saying that you must not eat good food. But what I am saying is that how much of shukr we must make to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that in what condition we are and in what condition they are. We must make dua for them. We must assist them and help them to whatever extent. And not only there, even in our own localities, around our own areas, in our own cities, and in our own surroundings, there are so many people who do not have sufficient to eat and drink, even in the month of Ramadan. So therefore, this fasting which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala prescribed, He says He has prescribed it, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. If Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala blesses me with life, until next Jummah, inshallah, then we will continue from here. And after Asr namaz, inshallah, Asr is at 5:45. From today onwards, we will be having some Quran recitation, some Durood Sharif recitation, some dua, some zikr, tilawat, whatever Allah Ta'ala wills, and some virtues of Ramadan and Quran Sharif recitation. So try and finish up quickly with the work in the bazaars and marketplaces and make it to the masjid. Because the bazaars and marketplaces, they are going to distract us. They're going to take us away from Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Out of necessity, a person has to go. But to spend more time there than is essential, and especially in the month of Ramadan, it will make the person lose out on all the sawab of that fasting and also take away the noor of all that fast, because the person begins indulging in so much of sins after that. And also reduce the burden on those who are your staff and are your servants. It does not mean that because it is a Christmas month, as we are getting reports now and people are phoning and saying that, Maulana, our bosses have increased the time. Instead of decreasing, they have increased the time. They said it's December month and you have to work overtime now. Brothers, believe me, if you reduce the time by half an hour, instead of 5 o'clock, you close at 5:30, instead of increasing it. And at the end of the month, you check, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give you exactly what was due to you. And if you extend it by another 5 hours, Allah will make you slog and then still give you the same thing. And I can take qasam in the masjid and say this to you. If you don't believe me, then believe Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Whatever is in our taqdeer, whatever is our sustenance, Allah Ta'ala has destined that we will receive in this particular month, December, irrespective of how many businesses open next door to you until midnight. But if you, with this niyat, that these servants of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala are Muslims, they are believers in Allah, and they are fasting people. I'm not talking about those who are not interested in fast and all. But they are fasting people. They have also made sehri early part of the morning. And whole day they have worked. Now give them some time to reach home early and make iftar and then go to the masjid and spend some time, because there's again taraweeh which will finish off at 10 p.m. With this niyat, if you're going to reduce, not only Allah Ta'ala will give you exactly what is destined for you in your taqdeer, but He will give plenty of barakat in that. Because one is to receive plentiful without barakat. And one is to receive it, even if it is little, with plentiful of barakat. May Allah Ta'ala give us an understanding of this concept of barakat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.